morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, even though it's cold outside, sometimes a little warm, but still it's winter. And when we think of winter, we don't normally think of pretty flowers growing in our yard. But that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Exactly. I think it's time to breathe life back into our homes. And I think with the upcoming holiday,
Is Valentine's Day really a holiday? I guess to certain people, it is a very important holiday.
It depends on who you ask. But the one thing that we really can't avoid is walking in our local grocery stores or any kind of store nowadays and seeing a bombardment of Valentine's related items.
That's right.
And one of those are cut flower arrangements. And we see those all around and they're so beautiful. Most of those come from very, very far away. And with Valentine's Day coming up, those prices tend to escalate. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for people that choose to buy cut flowers and bouquets and arrangements to really get the most out of their investment. One thing that we need to talk about is, of course, choosing your flowers. A lot of them are pre-mixed bouquets that have so many different flowers put together in color combinations. And I think the most important thing to do is once you take home your bouquet and you unwrap it from that clear plastic wrap, you need to make sure that you cut the bottoms of the stems.
So why do you need to do that in the first place?
Well, what you need to do that is so that the flowers can continue taking up the water and staying hydrated. Anytime they make a cut, the plant kind of makes a little wound over that. So that's going to inhibit any kind of water or nutrient uptake. So by cutting that just a very slight, about half an inch or so at an angle, is really going to increase that water to go into the stem and keep that plant hydrated.
Do you just want to do it that one time? Or is this something that you might want to keep doing throughout the life of that cut flower?
Well, it's going to be a continuous process because your bouquet or your arrangement is going to be ever-changing, evolving, even in that 7 to 10 day span that you have it inside your house. And then one other important concept that also comes in with the cut flower bouquets are these little packets mm-hmm. of flower food. And that's really going to add a combination of things. It's mainly labeled as flower food, but it also is slightly acidic. So what it does is it kind of lowers that pH of that water, and then we try to inhibit a little bit of that algae growth on there. So make sure that you get that flower food, mix it in there as recommended, and then you're going to have your bouquet. It's going to be ready to go. It's going to be wonderful, but you just don't put it on your tabletop and then just walk away from it. You really,
as most of us do.
Yeah. I mean, I want you all to enjoy that and take a look at it, you know, maybe every 2 or 3 days later, check that water. It's going to get murky no matter what with light exposure, or even sometimes some of the leaves kind of fall into the water. So that kind of makes it a little murky, and it's good for those little microbes to start building up a little slime on side of your vase. So you might want to make sure that you change out that water at a continuous basis and continuously give it another trim on the stems as well. And your bouquet is going to be there, and you want to make sure that it's longer. But because you have a mixed flower arrangement in this case, some of those shelf life of those individual plants are going to be gone before the others. So don't be afraid to pluck out the dead stems. And then that way, that doesn't contribute to any other murkiness of your water, or kind of increases that shelf life of your plants.
So what maybe are some of the cut flowers that tend to maybe last a little bit longer?
Oh, that's a great question. There's a lot of great different cut flowers that last a long time. Of course, your greens, which any kind of greenery that you have on there, and the fillers, the small baby's breath or status, those are going to last longest. But the real big showstoppers, the roses, will last a lot longer if they're a good quality. There's also a really great one that's called Alströmeria, and it comes in a lot of different colors, everything from a light creamy white to a really deep burgundy and every shade in between. That one is multiple flowers on one stem, and that really lasts a very, very, very long time. There's also real standard ones like your carnations, especially your spray carnations, Gerber daisies, which are those large, almost sunflower-looking mm-hmm. plants. Those last a very long time as well. one of the other things to think about is also that post-harvest, once they're cut, and what we can do to actually prolong the shelf life of those. And that's really, they're going to come from a very tropical climate, so keep them away from drafty windows. You want to keep them someplace also where you can see them and enjoy them. It's great to have a great centerpiece or a showpiece, but also I'm a big advocate of having living things inside your home. And another option for people that if they don't want to go the cut flower route are actually potted plants that are flowering at this time. There's a lot of great alternatives of tropical flowering plants that are out there. You have your gingers. You have the antheridiums as well. And the antheridium, the flower on that almost looks like a little heart shape bloom on there. And those usually come in pink or red colors. And those will continuously be a house plant. You kind of adopt those and bring those in into your home. Gosh, there's also tulips. I think tulips are also great, and those come in a lot of different colors.
And we're going to see those a lot come Easter time.
Yes, exactly. So definitely this is the season for that, and they'll be forced when they're coming from the nursery to bloom at this point. But you can definitely share those and have them inside your house.
And the nice thing about those also is you can keep those. And, of course, once the flowering is done, you can go ahead and replant that bulb, and it'll come right back up for you in the spring if you take the proper steps to make sure that you've kept it chilled when it needs to be chilled and then planted, and it'll give you some nice flowers the next year.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely an investment, and it kind of keeps on going.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we've heard on the show is people that receive rose bushes as plants. That's really another way to look at purchasing rose bush and look at what you can do for a long-term investment. That's going to actually go directly into your landscape, so you have to plan exactly where that plant would fit into your overall design of your landscape in your yard. But yeah, I mean, we all talk about different flowers, and we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, planning and what to do in your garden. And this is really a chance for people, if they want to bring in cut flowers all year around, is to look at your seed catalogs and look at your seed packets nowadays and see what you like to plant to be able to have a continuous harvest of flowers coming into your home. So,
and I think we've all, you know, when we see a nice flower growing in our yard, especially if it's a wild flower, you think, oh, that's pretty. And then you cut it and then it's dead, you know, about 2 minutes later. So some flowers just don't work so well.
Right, exactly. Some are best attached to the plant. But there are a lot of different cut flowers that are really easy to grow. Zinnias are probably the most popular little garden flower that you see around. They fill up a spot in a bed. And there's some types that actually have longer stems than others. The Thumbelina, the really small, compact ones that you see in those little six-pack packages at the garden center. But there's also some other ones that are on a longer stem that make a better cut flower. A perennial plant that you can look at is the echinacea, the purple coneflower.
Oh, those are nice.
Those are really pretty, and those come back every year. So that's a perennial plant that you want to, you know, keep in your yard. And it does attract wildlife and butterflies when it's out there. So bring that in. I know a lot of people also like growing herbs or culinary herbs. And those, surprisingly enough, make a really nice addition to a cut flower bouquet or an arrangement.
Onion blooms are really attractive.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, they're, you know, bringing in the onion blooms, even some basil. If you let that basil go to seed or let it flower, start, you know, bring that in. It's going to add, you know, green, which is a color, but also nice, a little nice backdrop. And then it also has that fragrance coming into as well. So, you know, be creative and think about how you want to bring in these cut flowers into your home. And they don't have to be big, gigantic bouquets. I like little small, you know, teacup size bouquets if I can see them in your bedrooms or in other living spaces. I think that really kind of adds a lot of, like, I don't know, it makes you feel special.
And also, you know, if you put something huge on a table, let's say it's your dining room table, and then you sit down for dinner, you're not going to see the person across from you because you've got this giant arrangement in the middle of the table.
Exactly.
So smaller is better.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. Spread them out.
You know, I know there are some really lovely aromas that come from some of our native plants. For example, like Texas mountain laurels have this amazing fragrance. But I do want to warn you, don't bring that flower inside. It's overpowering.
Most definitely. I think it's overpowering in the garden when there's a lot planted in one area.
It's lovely to walk through a neighborhood and go, oh, that's a great smell. What's that plant that's causing that? But when you bring it inside your house, it's a mistake.
Exactly. You don't want to bring in those little bees that like them.
That's right.
And, you know, of course, the number one most popular cut flower is roses. And that's definitely one thing that the master gardeners are really busy at this point. They're preparing the rose garden out on Copia, doing this massive deadheading and pruning so that we can anticipate the spring flowering season. And they're getting ready for one of their big outreach events of the season.
That's right. On February 22nd and 23rd, that's a little bit later this month, it's a Saturday and Sunday, they're going to be holding a rose pruning demonstration. So if you already have roses that are dormant in your yard right now and you really are unsure as to maybe how to take a prune or to them, you want to head on out to the Municipal Rose Garden on Copia, 22nd and 23rd of this month, and they'll be able to walk you through to answer your questions about all the types of roses that are out there. Maybe even if you don't have any rose pruning questions, maybe you just have rose questions, or you're thinking about planting a rose in your yard, and this February is the perfect time to plant roses in your yard. I'm sure they'll be happy to answer any questions and show off all the different types of roses that thrive here in El Paso.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a 2 days with an educational booth with all types of literature and knowledgeable master gardeners to be able to answer your questions. And then what they'll do is they'll, for those that are interested in the pruning section, they'll kind of pull them off to inside. They've left a couple of beds that they haven't pruned yet because they want to use those as a demonstration and as a kind of an education tool. So they'll be able to show you exactly where to make the cut, how to make the cut, the actual know-how of that. So definitely, take advantage of this really great outreach event for the Master Gardeners. They'll also give some tours of the garden itself. There's not much going on there, but if you have a question on a particular rose, they'll be able to answer those questions and take you out there and show you what the bush looks like at this point and really give you those descriptors of all the different types of roses, because there are different types of roses and you want to make sure that you get the one that you need and want.
Well, we hope that maybe you won't be shelling out all that money now for those arrangements of roses that are coming out for Valentine's Day. Hopefully we've given you some ideas on maybe how you can make something more special for that special someone for Valentine's Day or for whatever other occasion, because we're going to find cut flowers and flowering potted plants in the stores all year round. So hopefully people will take some of this advice to heart and give the right gift to the right person.
There you go.
Well, we want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.